Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission. Hi, friends. Welcome back.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hope you all had a good Christmas. We had a nice, slow Christmas.
Yeah, first Christmas in our new home.
Yep.
Just took some getting used to, but it was good. Just a lot of time with just us as the family. Mm-hmm. Reflecting on previous Christmases.
Yes, made us miss our previous life in India a bit.
Yeah, lamenting the late night Christmas Eve services with loud music. And
that we didn't get this year,
400 of our closest Indian friends.
Yeah. And then we had the privilege of participating in a retreat for missionary kids. Mm-hmm. That was such a blessing.
Including our own missionary kids.
And got to just invest in a lot of teenagers and loved it. Really proud of them.
Yeah. And proud of us for doing that.
For enduring. For being awake for the New Year's party.
Oh, that was awesome. Dancing happened.
A really positive topic for today.
Well, is it though?
Failure.
Yep. Everybody's favorite. Talking about failure.
Yeah.
So this was prompted by a recent experience that I had. So I'll just kind of walk through it. I think that'd be the best way to do it, just to frame the whole topic. So here's the deal. This moving to Spain, we have to go through this, I would say, torturous process to get our Spanish driving license. This whole, you study for a theoretical exam. It feels like studying for the LSAT that you have to take. And then you move on from there to the practical. And even though I've been driving for 30 plus years now, we still have to go through these classes and all this stuff. And then the exam is in all Spanish, which I speak un poquito, especially even compared to you these days. So all this stuff, and then there's a time limit as well. You have to get it within a certain time of you arriving in the country, or you're not really able to drive. So just one of those things that all of our colleagues face. Everybody who served on the field, you face some type of something like this.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So forgive us as we just
whine about this
a little bit, okay? But it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And for everybody who's been there, you have your own real things like that.
Right.
So obviously, it brings stress. Mm-hmm. It is because there's also the time ticking in the background of I have to get this done in a certain time or I can't drive. It'll be against the law for me to drive potentially. That's what we've heard. So there's this stress of like, I need to get this done. And I was on track to get it done according to schedule. And so this is how it happened. It was early morning. I got up. I was supposed to go to the place where I take my driving school. But instead of that, I went to the place where the exam was going to be, which are 30 minutes apart. I realized my mistake. I was rushing back and I got into a car accident.
On the way to his driver's
ironically,
test.
Ironically, on my way to my driver's test. So all those things and, you know, had to go through the whole process with the accident and the insurance and the police and all that. And so I missed this opportunity, missed this window.
To take the test,
which pushes the whole timeline back.
Puts him on the waiting list.
Makes this big...
I'm already on the waiting list.
Really inconvenient.
We're both on the waiting list
for our family.
Yeah.
So coming back, driving back from the accident, and then even tried to go to the driver's test. They said, no, there's no possibility for you to do it today. All these things. And then having to talk to our colleagues who arrange the vehicle for us and everything and tell them what happened. And even in the role that I'm in as supposedly the leader of what's going on in Europe, I just felt really stupid. I felt really, really dumb. I felt like, how could you have made the stupid mistake to go to the wrong place in the first place, and then you're rushing back? So I just felt really stupid that day. And driving back from the place where I tried to get in again to take the test, I was just reflecting on like why it could, because it was almost comical. I mean, the thing, for all those things to have happened the way that they did. It was just a silly mistake. All I had to do was read the message clearly once and I would have gone to the right place to begin with. But then rushing back, it was just this comedy of errors that seemed like divinely ordained. And so it made me just question on the drive back, like, why did this happen? Now, again, just extend a little grace, listener. This is not that big of a deal, I know. But it seems like a big deal when you're in the midst of it. And that's kind of the point, I think, mm-hmm. of what the Lord was doing in it, is that it was this big deal to me.
Right.
That I felt so stupid about it. And the shame that's kind of associated with that, and feeling like I failed my family as well. Like, oh man, this is going to make it so inconvenient and difficult for us. And all those things kind of compounding, what it was showing me was, man, you are making way too big of a deal about this. Why are you being so hard on yourself? Why are you basically like hating yourself for making this mistake?
Yeah, punishing yourself.
And feeling, and also like, why do you care so much about being perceived as stupid, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or having failed or making a mistake or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So all these things wrapped up. And I know, again, there's people that go through far worse things that would legitimately ask, maybe, why, Lord? But I was asking it in that time. So this is part of my ongoing shame. Okay?
Confession.
Ongoing confession and shame. Just why, you know, in the midst of why another thing to just make it inconvenient. And I realized that that was the purpose, I think, was for the Lord through pain to expose some things that are in my heart about how I deal with failure and how I expect myself to be able to perform. And so basically it was revealing what was in my heart. That was the whole thing. That was kind of the lesson that came out of it. And there was fruit that was born from that as well, because I recognized in my own response to my own failure and my own anger at myself and my own feelings of, man, you are so stupid, that there have been ways that I have parented our kids in that way as well. Not that I called them stupid,
no,
or anything
of
like that,
not,
but just that same like
that
level
pressure,
even anger at times at their failures, that I recognized there were things in my own past and my own story and my own upbringing that, you know, when that you just learn to imbibe sort of the response that you get to your failures, especially I think when you're young.
Yeah.
And that those things had come out then in my parenting as well. And that I was sowing those seeds in the hearts, potentially of my kids also. And so we had a great talk around the dinner table that night as I just walked through this, what happened and my response to it with my kids, and was able to try to talk with them a little bit about, hey, if you feel that, if you feel yourself struggling with failure, if you feel angry, or if you even feel yourself, you feel those words coming through your mind like, man, you're stupid, or you are an idiot, or whatever it is, just to recognize that as the voice of the accuser. And also, hopefully, even through me recognizing my role in that in their own hearts and in their lives, that that begins a process of repair and healing for them so that they can deal with their failure. So all of this is kind of the testimony to set up this discussion about failure.
Yeah.
How do we deal with it, right? I think that there's certain constitutions or attitudes or upbringings that point us towards this kind of reaction to what's a relatively small failure in life. But there's some root heart issues that cut across all types of failure. Because this is what some of Shani and I were talking about. Like, man, what if it had been massive failure? What do you do when you're confronted with really significant failure? We were telling one of our colleagues about what happened. I said, and I just jokingly described it as it was Shakespearean in terms of just the way that these things all kind of stacked up. Like I was talking about earlier, like a comedy of errors. And my buddy was like, well, if it was Shakespearean, the guy in the other car would have actually died. And it would have been truly tragic.
Right.
And so, but I mean, that's reality. There are those,
those
cases where you fail, you do something wrong, you make a mistake, and there are serious consequences to it.
Yeah.
And so just thinking through, man, it was a moment of clarity for me. If I react so strongly to this, which is a relatively light thing, what if there were this massive failure that happened in my life?
Yeah. And I think it's good to take the small things in life and try to learn from them instead of saying, oh, this was so small, it's almost silly to consider it a difficulty.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that we are in a new place with a new language and we consistently can feel stupid because you can't, it's just so hard to speak still.
Yeah.
And of course, we know, oh, I'm not stupid because I don't know this language, but you still can just feel that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the context as well,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, totally. My kids have started to joke, like when we're out, especially my son. I've been out with him a couple times and it's happened. People will speak to me in Spanish. And Gus is like, Dad, you get this look on your face when you're going to respond. I think it's like my dumb look that gets on my face of the sort of this dumb sheepish, like, I don't know how to respond. And then I try to roll out, hey, I don't speak the language. Do you have English? Whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities for you to just feel stupid.
Yeah.
When you're out and about.
Right. So just from my perspective, to use this example, I could see so clearly how God uses for good in our family because, and how when we fail, we have an opportunity. Are we going to let others in on it or not? We've talked about shame 1,000 times on this podcast, but obviously the human tendency is to cover up your failures, right? And when you came home from this whole crazy morning and you just instantly like shared your heart with me, that meant so much to me. You immediately let me in. You were really vulnerable. And that just like softened my heart and actually made me proud of you. In a weird way, even in your like failure, it made me just feel proud of the way you allowed God to speak to you through it and even confess weaknesses through it, referring to the parenting and things. And so you and I had a couple big kind of conversations about it, but then that night at dinner, I was really hoping you would talk with the kids about it. And I thought it was such a powerful moment for our family because I just want to tell the listeners this. Like, Jesse really shared vulnerably and teared up with our kids, and some of our kids teared up, and it really allowed my children to see into Jesse's heart, which I know from my own experience is the desire of every child. And there are plenty of kids who their dads never show them their hearts. And kids long for that. And so for these kids, teenage kids, who of course deal with their own feelings of failure and negative self-talk, to hear their dad share it openly was so powerful. And even we ask them questions. Are there times in your life when that you can think of when we were too harsh on you that really hurt you, and gave them a chance to talk about those and for us to say we're sorry and also to just pray over them that those wouldn't be long-term wounds for them and to share our hearts. We don't want those to be long-term wounds for you. We want to do all we can to repair that word. I've heard it a lot in counseling books, but the power of repair that is biblical and also in the counseling world, like a really, really powerful thing that we can do as parents, but in any relationship when my failure affects someone else negatively or hurts someone else.
Yeah. And I'd say that's the club the enemy most often beats me with, is just old guilt for failures in parenting. That's the one that most often gets pulled out to beat me with. And so I think that there's just that, the reality that with so many things in Christian life, it's not, the solution is not, at least first, hey, just do better. Just get out there and do better. Yes, there is a part of that we do need to be growing in it. Hopefully those bad things that we do, mistakes that we make and the failures that we make, that those are getting less and less. But really just the power of confession, the power of walking in the light, the power of exposing your failures and your hearts to other people, that is a huge part of restoring. It's a huge part of restoring relationships, restoring your own heart. And so I think that that's just key to Christian life. I think as we think about this principle that for us has become a life sort of principle, key part of our lives, but also part of our leadership, is that walking in the light, is exposing what's in your heart to one another. That's how you deal with failure. That's what we've tried to train our kids. Like, what do you do? We've asked this question. What do you do when you fail?
And that's the first thing. What do you do when you sin? I mean, failure can be a mistake or a sin.
Yes.
Both feel like failure. Both are failure, but they're different in how you respond, right?
Yeah.
We don't apologize or like confess a sin of forgetting something or spilling coffee on your favorite dress. I don't know. Like, those are mistakes.
Right.
It's different than sin.
Right.
But both feel really bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what were the lies that you think this situation revealed that you were believing?
I don't know.
Okay, maybe that just resonates with me more. I feel like, because this whole driving license thing, I failed my written test the first time, which was it wasn't as dramatic of a situation as Jesse's, because his was like, he got the wrong place, he had the accident, there were all these things. Mine was, I just went and took this test and I failed. And I also, struggled with feeling stupid, wanting to like blame the system, being really mad at the system, all that. But it reinforced to me this renewing of my mind that I have been working on for years. But sometimes certain circumstances can reveal the lies that we deep down in our gut just believe somewhere deep down, even though we know in our head the truth. Mm-hmm. And so when things like this come up, to me, it shows me, okay, there is a part of me still that connects my worth to my accomplishments.
Yeah.
And, or that even judges all people, myself and others, according to how successful you are, how much you're accomplishing versus when you fail.
Right.
And I really want to be in the accomplishing always. Mm-hmm. I always want to be on that side.
Yep.
Right. And so it just reveals to me that, and of course, a bit of fear of man, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're considering, what are other people going to think?
Right.
What are my coworkers going to think when they hear this?
Yeah. This idiot's in charge of things.
Right.
Yeah.
It can be discouraging, because you're like, oh, I thought I already learned this. I thought I was growing and getting my worth from what Jesus says about me. We are. But this is an opportunity to kind of even level up in that, right? Because something that you might normally feel successful in has been taken away. And now you get to again say, well, I wasn't going to be justified by passing my driver's test. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to be justified by learning Spanish fast anyway.
Yeah.
There's only one way to be justified, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I can't do anything to justify myself.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything to justify myself. So it just helps me continue the process of renewing my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there's some moments throughout our lives God graciously gives us. And this is what I'm looking at this time as, is a gracious gift from Him, the experience that happened earlier this week. Just because, as you're talking about renewing in that process, like, we can just fall into like, hey, we're getting better, we're making good progress. And sometimes we need to be reminded, hey, there's still a lot that's under there. And this was one of those things. It was like a pull back the curtain moment, because in a lot of ways, I would say this transition for us getting to into a new role and here in the new place, there's been a lot of good. As I think about maybe the work, the things that I would be tended to draw my value from, there's been a lot of wins. It feels like there's an upward trajectory. And so this, I think, highlighted and exposed, oh, wait, you maybe are starting to tie some worth and getting some worth and value and how you feel from that upward trajectory.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to just graciously allow you to fail and see, and let that expose what's in your heart.
Yeah.
That you are actually still really caring a lot about being even perceived as successful.
Mm-hmm.
That you have a lot of expectations about yourself, and even thinking that, you know, failure is this huge thing and you can't be allowed to fail and whatever else. it does just remind me, it's kind of like the 2 Corinthians 12 passage when Paul's talking about the thorn in the flesh. He said it was given to him to keep him from becoming elated, right? Because he'd had these great experiences, he'd had these heavenly visions, but then he was given a thorn to keep him from being too elated,
mm-hmm.
and to teach him about weakness, because Christ's power is perfected in our weakness, right? And so just the power, I think, of weakness that nobody wants to be that, especially when you're in leadership and you've been in ministry for a long time, you don't want to be weak. And that's the thing. I mean, stupidity is a form of weakness, right? And so as I'm thinking about that experience, it's just like, gosh, you know, nobody wants to live in that.
Right. Nope.
And so the exposure of it, the highlighting of it, does just, it reveals where our heart's at.
Yep.
It says, what are we putting our value in? Where are we looking to find our worth? Yeah. And that his power is perfected in our weakness. That just means as we walk in the light, as we acknowledge our weakness, that's when we experience the power of Christ. It doesn't work. It's just another way the gospel turns the world upside down. The world does not value weakness. The world would never say that weakness is the pathway to relationship or to power or to any of those things. And yet through the gospel, through Christ, that's exactly the truth.
Yeah.
Turns us on its head.
And I think it does when we allow other people in. It absolutely strengthens relationships
mm-hmm.
when we go through failure, when we feel weak. When I failed my driver's test and I was complaining about that to one of my friends, she said, oh, Shani, now all the other coworkers are going to think, well, if Shani failed her test, then I can too. You know, it's going to take off the pressure.
It's lowering the bar of leadership.
And
there you go.
But I know what she means, because yeah. it's just easy. I know for me, when I look at leaders, I just kind of assume that their lives are just going so great and everything looks just so great and they're so competent. And so it's always a blessing when leaders reveal their weakness and their humanness. It makes them normal. It makes them like me. It makes me know, oh, okay, I can show my imperfections too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously failing makes us more compassionate towards others,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It just makes us so more empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of God's purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's another element to it that the Lord kind of revealed. This actually came up at the retreat for missionary kids that we were at. We were teaching through 1 John. And just the idea that shame that we would feel about old sin, guilt that we would carry, or even that narrative of man, oh man, you're so stupid. There's actually a root there. The root is self-centeredness. As you're just thinking about yourself a lot, it actually forces you to look at yourself or to spend an inordinate amount of time or attention thinking about your own failures. And that way it's actually rooted in the same thing that pride would be. You're just obsessed with yourself.
Yeah.
In this case, you're obsessed with your failure. You're obsessed with, oh, how could I be so bad? Oh, blah, 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 blah. Right? Whereas if you're prideful, you're obsessed with how great you are.
Yeah.
But they're rooted in the same thing.
Well, or at least the fruit, I would say, is self-centeredness. I don't know if it's the root.
Okay.
Because I think a root of it is like a lack of faith and believing lies.
Mm. Yeah.
That
Good.
Then makes us self-centered.
Right.
You know, Good. Because we're refusing to accept the forgiveness of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Jesus forgave me for that, but I will not forgive myself.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of my key verses that I have been reading and reminding myself of daily is from Hebrews 10 that I wanted to share for this. And it just relates to that perfectly. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Mm. So that just shatters any kind of, I'm going to be good enough to justify myself. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. I love that imagery. He sat down. The work was done. Work was done. For by a single offering, he had perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So this is a really good verse for perfectionists.
Hmm.
Jesus perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Mm. It's kind of like, it doesn't make sense, right? But it's showing positionally we've been made perfect.
Yeah.
And we're being sanctified. Mm-hmm. We're in process, yep. right? Now, then he says, God says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. When we beat ourselves up, mm-hmm. God reminds me through this verse, okay, you might be remembering your past sins, but I will remember your sins no more.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about them, Shaney. Mm-hmm. So you, if you want to go ahead and waste your time and energy right. thinking about them, that's up to you. I have only forgiveness for you. Mm. But sometimes we don't agree with him. We don't receive it.
Right.
And so we just keep stewing on it. Mm-hmm. Like we can't let go of it.
That's it. Yeah. That's what the first half of my ride back was about. Just stewing on it. Cannot let go of that mistake that I made. Or the failure, whatever it is that the accuser uses for you to just continue beating yourself up about. I just think that's such a great reminder from that he has committed to not remember our sins, and who mm-hmm. are we to continue remembering them?
Yeah. Right? Well, and it does show us like the self-centeredness, because plenty of people know about your incident.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's a small world around here. Right. Everybody knows everybody's business.
Right.
No one else is sitting at home giving this a fraction of the thought of the time and
exactly.
as you are, right?
Of course, yeah.
And so, I mean, even for me as your wife, to see how much it bothered you mm-hmm. was a good reminder to me. Mm-hmm. That's what I do too. Like I make a big deal mm-hmm. out of my failures. And I need to kind of step back and get some perspective.
Yeah. We're not the main character.
Not the main character.
Nobody cares.
Right.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that a little bit of walking in the light and admitting failure has been encouraging to you guys.
One last thing that I want to say is kind of the message of the book, Gentle and Lowly.
Hmm.
Like in a nutshell, if you haven't read that book, 100%, 10 out of 10, recommend it.
It's great.
I mean, are you thinking of that at all in this situation? Just how we have the harsh self-talk that you're bringing up.
Uh-huh.
And then we have the way that Jesus treats us in this way that he's gentle and lowly. Mm. He remembers our frame.
Yeah.
He is slow to anger. Yeah. He doesn't keep remembering our sins.
Yeah.
And just that whole, like, he remembers our frame. He knows we're humans.
He knows we're dust.
And so he knows we're going to have car accidents.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to misread messages. We're going to, like, make all these errors, right? You're talking about the regrets we have as parents when we were unnecessarily frustrated with our small children for just being children sometimes, right? For just taking forever or spilling things or forgetting things. And so just that amazing quality of Jesus, that he's so patient, that he's gentle and lowly with us, and that as we experience that, the right thing to do is to become more like him, obviously in how we treat others.
Right.
But I think even in, it should affect how we treat ourselves, right? We shouldn't have unrealistic expectations of ourselves to be like superhuman and get so mad at ourselves when we, especially when we just make like honest mistakes.
Right.
Like everything you did, they were just honest mistakes. Yeah. They weren't due to sin.
I was speeding a little bit on the way back to get in the accident.
Well, okay.
But yeah.
But yeah, you were stressed. That's understandable. You went to the wrong place. That's understandable. And so there is an aspect of, hey, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to accept the fact that you're a human.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good, maybe the truth here that how we respond to our own failure and the failure of others is a really good gospel indicator in our lives. If we respond with gentleness towards ourselves and towards others, that's a pretty significant indicator of gospel maturity.
Yeah.
Or that you're, at least for that season, like you're living in that kind of that gospel vibrancy. You're walking closely with that. You're walking in faith, believing what he says about you. But man, if we're just quick to be harsh with ourselves and with others, it's probably a time to, you need some work. You need some help.
Right.
Reach out. You need to walk in the light and just say, be reminded by others that you love of what Christ has done for us and of his gentleness and that's always there for us.
Yeah.
So
thank the Lord for good friends who help us with that.
Yeah. And apparently I needed a bit of a gospel tune-up. So this is part of it. So hopefully it's been a part of that for you all as well. Hopefully you don't have to go through such a horrendous experience, a Shakespearean tragedy like I did in order to get your gospel tune-up, but that the Lord would allow this to do the same. So when we fail, we walk in the light and we trust in his grace and his gospel and we go to the Savior who's gentle and lowly with us, right?
Amen.
Okay. Thanks, folks.